morning. Happy New Year. We're excited to start the new year off strong. And I don't know if you've been on social media with us or listening in the past weeks. I know a lot of people have been traveling, but we're excited because today we are launching 21 days of prayer and fasting. Yay! And if you're not excited already, my assignment this morning is to inspire you and challenge you from the Bible and from real life experiences. Amen. And send you on your way so excited about fasting and praying because God has something amazing for all of us. No matter where we are in our spiritual growth and development, maybe you're a new believer this morning and you've never skipped a meal before, and that seems intimidating, let alone praying for the time that it would take to skip a meal, right? Or maybe you've been a believer for a long time, you've been known Jesus for a long time, and you just need a fresh reminder of the benefits and essential components of prayer and fasting in order to get you excited once again about diving into this really amazing kind of secret weapon of Christianity. Does that sound good? So that's what we're going to do today, and I'm excited to be able to be here and share the Bible with you. My husband is, in fact, in Fairfax Unplanned. Our sweet campus pastor, Ashley Johnson, got a stomach flu last night and texted us, and so we just do what we need to do and mixing it up, and Lyman and Stevie here saving the day, and he's out there, and I'm up here, and who knows? God has something great in mind for all of us. Amen? So here we go. I want to open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. It's a very short verse, a very short scripture, and it's going to keep us right on track for where we want to be today. It says this, it says in the New King James Version, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. You know, I think it's funny because in our flesh, in our own human nature, we don't really always hunger and thirst after righteousness. And what righteousness really is, a fancy Bible word for God's way, God's plan, the good things of God, anything outside of the realm of sin, right, is righteousness, making the right choices, following God's plan, loving Him. You know, there's an expression that we use, like the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? And so when we approach this subject of prayer and fasting, I want you for the next few minutes just to wipe away everything that you've ever thought before about fasting and praying, everything that's ever been put on you in church as an obligation, okay? And I want you to kind of fresh, clean slate this with me this morning because I believe that God wants to put an excitement in our spirits about this spiritual discipline that is so important to the life of the Christian. And I believe that God wants to birth something new inside of us as we walk this path together, as we walk this journey together in the next 21 days. And that is a hunger and thirst, fresh and new, levels above where you've been before, wherever that might have been, for the things of God, the good things of God. Amen? So that's exciting. I don't know if there's any prayer requests that we get on those cards each and every week more than, "I want a deeper relationship with God. Pray for me because I need to hear His voice. Pray for me because my relationship needs the voice of God and Jesus to be the center. Pray for me because I'm not sure what my next steps would be and I have some options and I really need to hear clearly because I don't want to miss it." So many of the prayer requests that we have, like such a high percentage, are exactly these kinds of things. And prayer and fasting is exactly the remedy for that, for just that. It's a time where we set ourselves aside to devote ourselves to really rob our physical, our flesh, of its routines and what it needs. Do you ever notice that we're body, soul, and spirit, but we never rob our bodies, do we? Of food and the essential things that we need. We don't do that. In fact, we see it as a really bad thing. Why I can't get rid of this cold is because I'm a mother and I cannot manage to get sleep, okay? I'm like taking echinacea and grapefruit seed extract and vitamin C pellets and Robitussin DM at night. Like, I'm doing everything. But the one essential ingredient that I'm missing is rest. Okay? Doesn't happen that much in my life. I'm not complaining. I'm not a victim. I'm believing for breakthrough and fasting and prayer. Okay? The point is, we will not neglect our bodies, but we do neglect our spirits. It's amazing how things get in the way. And fasting and prayer is a time where we set ourselves aside. We separate ourselves from the very loud voice of our flesh, and we overcome that voice, and suddenly the things of the spirit become louder. We become more in tune. We can hear the voice of God. And so we want to talk about this, and we're going to have a lot of words today, hopefully, that go around and about this subject, so you can get the full impact of what I hope I'm communicating with you this morning. Anybody ever try in the new year a resolution, like, or maybe it's in the springtime when you see, you know, the skies clearing and you know that bathing suit weather is coming, and you feel suddenly deeply inspired to lose a few pounds? Right? And you go online and you begin to explore, what are my options? You ever do that? Right? And there's so many. And I'm embarrassed to say that in like 1 second, I jotted all the ones that I could think of down on my paper. There's Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig. Also, if you watch TV, they're all over the place right now because of the new year. Nutrisystem, Ideal Protein, South Beach Diet, Atkins Diet, Ketogenic Diet, Paleo, Whole30. And this doesn't even begin to cover, right? This doesn't even begin to cover the cleanses and the supplements, right? And in our culture, it's like if you have something you need to do, like lose weight or enhance your life in some way, you can really go online, you can Google the ways to do that, and you can find what works for you. Does that make sense? And everybody has their thing, right? I know I have my thing. The way I maintain my health, I have things that I have found work for me, and there's things that I have found don't work for me. But we're encouraged, right, to explore and try and figure out what works for us. I want to tell you, though, this morning that the recipe to growing in a deeper relationship and intimacy with Jesus is not find what works for you. In fact, it's much the opposite. The Bible sets out very clear avenues in which we are to deepen our relationship with God. This is how it's done, because the fact of the matter is God is God, and he gets to decide, right? It's not build your faith to suit your comforts or what works for you and what doesn't. And so that's why I really want to blank slate this morning, because maybe you've tried fasting and prayer before in the past. Maybe you grew up in church, and maybe for you it was more of a legalistic experience where you were kind of made to. Like the one I'm doing with my kids this month, it's not really about the spirit. It's more about you're not having sugar for 3 weeks. Deal with it. That's the fast that I'm calling in my house on a physical level, okay, because I can't even deal with the sugar that they've taken in over the last month. But maybe that's your experience growing up. But on top of that, right, I'm encouraging them to pray and ask God what, you know, they're going to do for the fast. But maybe for you it was more of a legalistic experience or something that was an obligation. So I really want us to humble ourselves this morning and say, God, what do you say about this? And if you are who you say you are, and we know he is, and if your word is true, and we believe it is, then you have, you know, this, you've given this tool, this key to unlock amazing things for me in my life as a follower of Jesus. And so why would we ever pass that up, right? Why would we ever? So I want to even just encourage you further from Matthew 5, which is where we just read out of, right? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus, this is a very famous sermon. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, and it's famous, and Jesus talks within this chapter. He makes some very interesting statements, and he uses some very strategic language, and there's three things that he kind of outlines as just expected disciplines of the Christian life, okay? He doesn't say, if you fast, he says, when you fast, okay? So Jesus brings this sermon to us in a really life-changing way. And I would encourage you just to mark Matthew 5 down in your notebook, because you're going to want to go read that this week while you're studying and praying and believing for what God has for you in the new year. The three things he says is, when you give, we know generosity is a part of every believer's life. He said, when you pray, which is an essential component that goes right along with the next one, and that is when you fast. Interesting, fasting is probably the least talked about of those three, but it's so important, and that's why at the beginning of each and every year, we take the time to talk about fasting, to encourage each of us on our own journey and in our own time and in our own ability to do the best we can, right? And to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit that's calling us to set this time aside. If it's God's will for us as a church, that means, and you're a part of this church, it's God's will for you to set this time aside and to seek him. Amen? And I believe that the fruit is going to be amazing. So I want to jump in right this morning, and let's talk for a few minutes about what is fasting, okay? And we're talking about biblical fasting, okay? Biblical fasting for spiritual purposes. We know that science always aligns with the Bible amazingly, and I know that's a very big statement to make, but I believe that is true. And we know that if you look online, there's a lot of positive benefits, health benefits to fasting, aside from the spiritual components, okay? Intermittent fasting and all these different things that you can read about. But we know that with biblical fasting, fasting and prayer, or fasting is not effective without prayer, okay? They go together. But because we are going to be meeting every Tuesday night and on Saturday mornings to pray together, and we're going to be continuing to kind of talk about these things over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to mainly focus on a teaching here this morning for the rest of our time about actual fasting. Does that sound good? I want to encourage you also to attend our prayer times that we're going to be having, and you're going to hear a little bit more about that in our announcement time at the end, but take those down every Tuesday over the next 3 weeks, right in this lobby at 7 p.m. We're going to be praying for 1 hour. Come on the way home from work, leave refreshed and rejuvenated, right? Maybe you're looking for what kind of fast you want to do, and you want to skip dinner on Tuesdays, and you want to come and pray with us. That's a great idea. So that one, and then 9 a.m. on Saturdays, same place. It's going to be powerful. We're going to have worship and prayer together. It's going to be life transforming. So back to where I was, what is fasting? And we're going to take a look at biblical fasting. The first thing, statement I want to make, is that biblical fasting is a spiritual discipline that focuses on cultivating a hunger for God and being more sensitive to his voice. Oftentimes, as human beings, our hunger for other things is louder than our hunger for the things of God. And it's easy for our hunger for the things of God to be drowned out by our physical appetites, right? Our motivations to advance in our career, to make money, or to pursue other things. And let's be honest this morning, before God, none of those things are bad. But it is important for us as believers who are seeking after God's very best for ourselves, right? For our lives. And that we are hungry and thirsting not just for the good things of God, but for him. Amen? For a relationship with him, for intimacy with God. Did you know that God's creative purpose on your life is to be in a relationship with him? You were created to know him. And the only way to achieve your best life on earth as a creation of God is to know your creator. And so fasting is a spiritual discipline that focuses on cultivating that hunger and being more sensitive to his voice. Biblical fasting involves abstaining from eating and or drinking for spiritual purposes. Biblical fasting always means abstaining from food. It does not mean you shouldn't also abstain from other distractions, like the big ones that exist now are like social media and sometimes people entertainment, certain kinds of things, where in order to really fill your empty time from, you know, eating or whatever with prayer, you really need to put that phone down, right? Or turn off some of the things that are constantly speaking into your life and invading your space. Do you ever feel like, it's just maybe my age, but I feel like my space is being invaded by technology, and I need to turn those things down and focus on God and really lean into what he's speaking to me? Biblical fasting involves abstaining from eating, though. It's always abstaining from food. The concept is that you forego food and instead you fill yourself with God's word. It's a physical expression of dependence on God and desire for God. Fasting has always been a normal part of a relationship with God. We see it all throughout the Old and New Testament, and we're going to get into some of those examples in just a few minutes. Fasting is meant to be paired with prayer and increased time studying and reading the Bible. Fasting declutters my life and focuses, or refocuses, I would say, especially in the new year, kind of resets, right, your spirit and your body on seeking God. Fasting reduces the influence of our self-will and invites the Holy Spirit to do more intense work in us. Fasting is driven by a desire to deepen and increase intimacy with God and hearing His voice. These are big ones. I could step aside. I think it's just one at a time. Okay. What? They did? Okay, that's good. I was going to say take a picture of the screen and save yourself the note-taking. So fasting is driven, this is important, by a desire to deepen and increase intimacy with God and hearing His voice. This next thing is important for us to know. To think that fasting is a legalistic action whereby we manipulate the hand of God is to not really fully understand fasting. So it's important that we hold fasting with an understanding of God's grace and how sufficient it is. It's not how you can achieve in fasting or how successful even you are in fasting. It's about the heart issue. And we get that wrong in religion sometimes, don't we? We make it about what we can do. And like any other spiritual discipline, it's always about the heart. It's never about your performance. So God is going to help you, and He's going to grow you. And as you really do your best, He's going to expand your capacity as you're hungering and thirsting after Him and His relationship, that relationship with Him. So fasting is not a diet or a way to lose weight and should not be the focus of your fasting. But seeking God should be your one motivation and your one focus. So if you've gone online, as we talked about, and you're going to start a new eating program, wait until after the 3 weeks, you know? If you're going to start, you know, I'm going to give you permission at church to put that off another month and really focus on, you know, this time as spirit first. Amen? And then lastly, I added this in for my benefit. Fasting is hard. Can we just be real? Okay? Fasting is hard, but there is so much grace for it. And again, it's not about how you can perform and do. It's about how you, it's based on, it, I think there's so much grace once you set your mind to do it and once you decide. We're going to talk about that in a few more minutes, specifically your next steps of deciding and being strategic about, okay, what am I going to do for the fast and how am I going to really set myself up for so-called success in getting rid of some of those distractions. So moving on, in the interest of time, we have a lot to cover. Why do we fast? And I hope you're hearing my heart this morning because it's so important. Every single one of us can do something. When I say it's hard, it's not just hard in your body because you feel tired or hungry or whatever. Honestly, there's a lot of spiritual resistance that comes. Oftentimes, leaning into a fast, like I can already tell you, Michael and I already are feeling it. Like all the chaos that happened already, there's just spiritual resistance. Am I saying the devil made Ashley sick? No. I'm just saying there's resistance all around us, right? That the enemy is so afraid. What if this group of people came together and for 21 days fasted and prayed for breakthrough in the spirit, to see our city change, to see our lives change, to see our friends saved, to see our workplaces transformed? The enemy is afraid of that. Because like I said at the beginning, this is the secret weapon of in the life of every believer. So important for us to understand the spiritual realm and what is exactly going on. So why do we fast? We see fasting throughout the Bible, as I said, in the Old and New Testaments. And here are just a few reasons and examples for our time today. And we're going to be hearing more about fasting that hopefully will be encouraging to us as the weeks go on in this series. But a few examples that we see throughout the Bible. The first one, the reason why we would fast is deepened reliance on God. Deepened reliance on God. We see in Matthew 4:4, Jesus is just beginning his ministry, right? And we know that Jesus launched his ministry on earth with a 40 days of fasting and prayer, okay? 40 whole days. And it was a supernatural thing. And Jesus sets this example for the life of every believer that is, you know, throughout the Old and New Testament, as we said. But we know that at the very end of his fast, the devil comes to him, appears to him, actually Satan himself. And the Bible says that he tempts him with food, okay? And Jesus makes an interesting statement. He says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is a powerful statement because he's actually telling us the truth about ourselves. Yes, you need bread. Yes, you need food, but an essential ingredient for men and women to achieve true life is to hear the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I want to read to you in this other, more amplified version so we can really kind of understand this. It says this in the Passion Translation. This is Jesus' response in the Passion Translation. The scripture says, bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word which constantly goes forth from God's mouth. So here's something. God is constantly speaking. He's never hiding from us. He's never withholding from us. He is a good father. He's constantly speaking. So what is the problem? Why am I not hearing his voice? Well, my life is so cluttered with distractions and other things and appetites and busyness and good things, not just negative things, good things. So Jesus is saying this time of fasting kind of peels all that back and brings me to a spot where I am really hearing the voice of God. I'm really recognizing the voice of the Holy Spirit in my life and discerning what is God's will for my life. Well, this amazing discipline done even once a year for a couple of weeks is going to really set the life of the believer on a track to be really in line with God's will for our lives. Amen? The enemy is afraid of that. He's not happy about that. In fact, the devil in this passage showed up to Jesus and was giving him all kinds of options, right? Like he owned everything and Jesus didn't. All kinds of options of what he would give him if Jesus would simply falter. And that's why I said before, fasting is hard. You're going to feel like, I can't do this, you know. Sometimes I go into a fast and I think I'm such a woman of discipline and I'm like at lunch the first day and I'm dying. You know, you're going to have moments where you're like, this is hard, and I am weak, and I cook for my family. Fasting or not fasting, I'm in the kitchen. So we'll talk about strategies for that, because you do need to set yourself up for some kind of success. But it's a deepened reliance on God. When we fast, we say, you know what, God, I know that my body needs food, and I'm going to get to that. But right now, I really am hungering for you. And I want you to know, Jesus, that I rely on you more than any of these other things. Not food, not money, not the career that I have. All these other things are secondary. But to relying on your voice and hearing your voice. Interesting thing that I have here, it says that in collaboration, actually, with one of our other pastors, we were chatting about this, and she made the statement, Ashley, Pastor Ashley, I'll give her the credit for this one. She said, we often self-medicate with food and media to fill the discomfort caused by low self-esteem, unfulfilling work, unloving relationships, loneliness, restlessness, sinful urges, and uncontrollable circumstances. We have our little ways of escaping the realities that we can't control. And we do it, and I'm not saying those are bad things, those are human things to do, but fasting kind of uncovers all of that. So it can feel really uncomfortable. Fasting can make you feel really uncomfortable, but don't give up. Push through, like that really awful hard workout. You're going to feel better at the end, but you know, it's kind of touch and go in the middle. Hang on, do your best, push through. Fasting teaches us that doing God's will sustains us. Again, in John chapter 4, 31 through 35, I think it should be on the screen for you. Jesus said, when he was talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, and the disciples are kind of like urging him, you need to eat, you need to eat, like trying to boss him. And he says, you don't understand. I have food that you don't even know about. And he said, my food is to do the will of God. What if God brings us to that next level during these next 3 weeks where, yes, we're human beings and we need food and we need sleep and we need water and we need exercise and we need all these things, but our real sustenance of our soul is doing the will of God. And we're so aware of the voice of God in our lives at a new level. So see, this is that hunger. I want you to go away from here today excited, hungering and thirsting about what does God have for me? Don't allow anything in your past or even in your present to hold you back from taking one step deeper into this exciting new realm of relationship with Jesus. There's something for all of us. The second reason why you could fast is God's intervention. God's intervention. Now, we all have specific situations that we're believing him for. And I'm not going to camp a lot on this one. It's pretty self-explanatory. Maybe it's healing. Maybe you need a miracle in an area of your life, a real healing miracle. Maybe it's a miracle outside of a healing. Maybe it's a financial miracle or even just a miracle in your workplace, a breakthrough in relationships. Maybe you have broken relationships. Maybe you're facing some kind of crisis. In 2 Samuel, we see that David, King David, fasted and prayed and pleaded on behalf of his child who was ill. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you're a parent, maybe you have a child that who's a wayward child, or you just, like any parent of teenagers, you're not really always sure where they're at, you know? You know they're eating all the food and spending all your money, but deep in their soul, you know, you're not always sure. Fasting and prayer for a mom and a dad is a great way to get Jesus going after those babies of yours, you know, and to see miracles happen, things that are outside of your control, you know, I don't want to say it like, because remember, we said this is not manipulating the hand of God. Your results, as we see, it's really powerful in this passage in 2 Samuel, because we see that David fasted and prayed. It was already prophesied that this baby would die. The baby died. David reemerged once the baby was dead, and his fellow cohorts, his friends, were confused. What is wrong with you? You're not mourning. He said, I have peace because now I know I will see my child in heaven. Fasting is not a way to manipulate the end result or the timing of God or the hand of God. It is simply a way to humble yourself and say, God, I'm not sleeping on this and not doing everything that I can do before you to have you move on behalf of this situation. And you know, you start your year out like that. Fasting doesn't just stop when the 21 days stops, right? The benefits, the spiritual accomplishment, the spiritual benefit continues throughout your year, and you see the fruit of it all year long, and it is powerful. So maybe your child doesn't have the breakthrough on January 27th, okay? But you're gonna see that breakthrough. That breakthrough's coming. Maybe it's this summer, maybe it's next fall, but that breakthrough, that miracle, that situation is gonna have a turnaround. And you will know when it happens, wow, this is a result of God's goodness through the prayer and fasting. The third reason why is guidance. We fast for guidance. Maybe you're believing God for direction for your future. If the person you're with right now is the person you should marry, great question. Big decision. Lots of stuff involved there, right? Why not ask God? You've probably already asked everyone else, right? Why not seek God on the matter, right? And really dig in and get a piece about this relationship. What career path to choose? Maybe you have some options. I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of person, I'm a little bit fear of failure. Even when it comes to fasting, Michael's like, you're so crazy. Because I like don't want to proclaim that I'm going to fast for like this big long time because I'm afraid I'm going to fail. Like I'm really failing God. Like he's really up in heaven, you know, nervous because what if Heather doesn't go through with her commitment? Like I'm kind of that personality where he's totally the opposite. He's just like, dream big, believe big. If you mess up, get up and keep going. Like, aren't you glad he's kind of our leader? instead of this little frayed person over here. But you know what? It doesn't matter what your personality is, because we all need the guidance that God has for us, right? And don't be afraid to fail or to hear wrong or whatever. I don't believe that the will of God for your life is a narrow tightrope. I don't believe that. I believe that living life without Jesus is a narrow tightrope, because if you live long enough without God in your life, your options run out. But with God in our lives, He creates a wide space. He creates room for us, right? He creates grace and peace in our lives where we can walk and we don't have to live in fear and worry and be ruled by those things. But you know what? Sometimes there's a big decision to be made. And in fasting and prayer, we receive His guidance. I put some scriptures on there and I want you to read those and just really take them to heart for yourself over the next few weeks as we dive into this. The fourth reason why we fast and pray is because it's worship. It's worship to God. It's no mistake that Adam and Eve were tempted originally by food, right? It's no mistake that Jesus, after 40 days of fasting and prayer, was tempted by food. And it's also no mistake that some of the major characters in the Bible, like Esau, gave up his whole inheritance for like a bowl of soup or something, right? None of the food temptations in any of these passages are worth anything. Bread, plain bread, a piece of fruit, a bowl of soup. It's practically what we'll probably be eating while we're fasting. No. Clearly we have levels to go. Okay. But anyway, it's no mistake that that happened, right? That because the power of our physical appetites are strong. And again, when God created us how He created us, so this isn't a bad thing, but it is a season of time to overcome those things and allow our spirits to rule, right? And allow our relationship with God to deepen and allow His voice to become more fine-tuned. In Luke 2:37, it talks about this woman who devoted her life to worship in the temple. Her name was Anna. She was a beautiful, elderly woman who literally lived in the temple and every day with fasting and prayer worshiped God and was waiting for the manifestation of the Messiah. And she was one of the people that prayed over Jesus and prophesied over Him when He came to the temple to be dedicated with His mom and dad, Mary and Joseph. This woman is a beautiful picture of a life of worship. This woman, you know, talk about I don't believe in women in ministry. Here she is, right? Prophesying over Jesus in ministry, giving her life devoted to God in fasting and prayer, which is amazing because she was 84 when she died. And she, you know, probably needed a doctor's note. I'm pretty sure she probably didn't have one. So you got to be careful. But here's a woman who devoted herself to worship in a culture where the person she was married to, she's a widow, the person she was married to or her place in the community would have been really compromised once she was a widow. In fact, the ancient Jewish civilizations had provisions for widows in their society and ways to provide for them, but they became the lowest level because they didn't have a man to attach them their life to. These women didn't have a man to attach their life to and have that protection and that provision from. So this is a powerful picture of the kind of worship that it is to God. When we devote ourselves to prayer and fasting and worship and seeking Him, just like this lady did. So it's a beautiful picture of the worship that it is to God when we humble ourselves with fasting and prayer. The next one is amplifies earnest prayers. Fasting amplifies your earnest prayers. Why prayer and fasting together isn't prayer enough by itself? It amplifies your prayers. There's a lot of illustrations of this. In the Bible, one specifically where Jesus had just come off of a fast, and this man brought his very sick, very really demon-possessed son to Jesus, and because the disciples were slackers and couldn't heal his boy. And Jesus explained to them, actually, this only comes out by prayer and fasting. Interesting. The disciples were empowered by Jesus to do these works and these miracles, but Jesus made a point of saying, because He had just come off of that fast that we talked about at the beginning of His ministry, and then He spoke healing over this boy, and the boy was healed. He made a point that sometimes our prayers need amplification through fasting. Again, this is not well, this, I don't believe that, or I don't agree with that. It's in the Bible, right? This isn't build to suit. This isn't find what works for me. This is a spiritual recipe for intimacy with God that sometimes even with our natural mind, we don't totally get. But it is a spiritual principle that we see laid out clearly in the Bible, and we need to embrace it. Another example is in the book of Ezra. It says, chapter 8, verse 23, so we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer. In the next 2 minutes, Ben is awesome, I'm going to go through how to fast, okay? I want to make sure we leave feeling very equipped. We have an awesome resource for you for the 21 days of prayer and fasting. We have a guide that we've put together, and it's going to be in the, you can go on our Instagram at Citizen Heights or Twitter at citizenheights.com, or at Citizen Heights is the handle, and you can click on the link in the bio, and it will bring you to our website, or you can just go directly to the website. And you don't have to put up slides for this, you guys. Sorry. Thank you, though. They're going to do it again in the announcements. I just want to make sure everyone can access it. If you go to the website, you click the Ministries tab, and Lyman and Steve are going to give you more essential directions in a minute. But get this guide, because a lot of what I'm talking about is in there. And then we're all going to be praying for 21 days through a lot of the same topics together. So we're going to be really unified on this journey over the next 3 weeks. And I'm telling you, God is going to unleash his power. And then we're going to come together on Vision Day on the 27th, and we are going to experience something so amazing, you guys. Fasting, praying, believing God for his next and his best in our lives for 2019, and hearing the vision that God's put in our hearts for this year is going to be powerful. So I'm excited about that. So will you do that? Will you go on there and download it and follow it? It's going to be great. So how do we fast? Some really quick things as we close. Number one, clarify the purpose of your fast. I don't think this is a hard step. In fact, I think the whole time I'm talking, you're thinking, wow, I need to fast for that. Oh, I need to fast for that, right? Things come up into your mind, but really be clear. Really decide and really pray about what the Holy Spirit would have you to pray for and believe for. The second thing is decide the kind of fast that you will do. Make a decision. Remember I said that, you know, fasting is motivated by your hunger after God, but it's really sustained by, honestly, a hardcore decision. Because there are hard moments. There's hard moments. There's moments of weakness where you're just going to be like, I'm just really tired and I don't want to do this. But you know what? The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. So let's go with the spirit and let's make that decision and do our best and follow through. Decide what kind of fast you want to do. Maybe you've never fasted a whole day or days in a row. So you want to do certain food groups. You want to eliminate things that you would maybe self-medicate, like Pastor Ashley was suggesting. Eliminate those things. Maybe certain times of day. Maybe skipping dinner and coming to prayer here. Maybe skipping dinner and doing prayer at home and we don't have prayer. You know, whatever it is for you, I would encourage you, definitely media and entertainment is a good thing to minimize during this time of prayer and fasting. Because the Bible talks all about all the different voices in our life and how they're all significant. And we want to really turn up the volume of God's voice over this time. Because remember, if you're not praying and seeking him during this fasting time, you're really just starving yourself, okay? So we want to make sure we're doing the right combination. And just committing to what we're going to do. And then dedicating time to pray, filling that space with the word and with prayer. Because as I said over and over, prayer goes hand in hand with fasting, right? It doesn't do you any good to skip a meal and go shopping. Skip your meal, and on your lunch break, take the time to really seek God if that's what you're going to do. Be strategic about it. Set yourself up for success. Say goodbye to the guilt if you're a mom. I'm going to go on Costco and order like some of those prepared meals that I can just pop in the oven because I just can't be in the kitchen for the first few days. It's too hard. You know, so do what it takes to put you in a place where you really can take the time and use that time. I want to close with this one verse that I found, and it's so beautiful, in Psalms 14, chapter 2. It says this in the Passion Translation. The Lord looks down in love, bending over heaven's balcony, looking over all of Adam's sons and daughters. He's looking to see if there is anyone who acts wisely. any who are searching for God and wanting to please him. I looked deeper into those two words, act wisely. And you know what it meant? It meant, does anyone understand the real, true meaning to life? Does anyone really have an understanding that this is how you get there? By seeking his face, by hungering and thirsting after God. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, you know what? I don't really feel like I even want to do that. Crucify your flesh and make the decision to humble yourself before God and just skip. Start small. Start small and just see what God will do, how you will hear his voice, and how your life is going to be blessed through this amazing next couple of weeks. As we close, I'd love for you to just bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm over just by a couple of minutes, so I'm going to make it quick, but I want to pray a prayer of consecration over our whole church, a prayer of consecration and dedication, because you know what? I believe as individuals, God has something amazing for us, but also as an entire community, we are stepping into something new, and it's not because it's a new year, but it's because God would have it that we take new ground, that we see new lives saved, that you see new levels of breakthrough in your own life. So I just want to pray over you right now. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's powerful and convincing and transforming, and that our lives are better when we've sat under your word and teaching. God, we pray that these words would go deep into our hearts, that they would find fertile soil, that the seeds of your word would bring forth fruit of change, fruit of righteousness, fruit of hungering and thirsting after the right things. God, we want to be good disciples, good followers, good children. Father, we pray that you would help us, that you would be strong in our weakness. And Father, we dedicate ourselves and we consecrate ourselves to you over these next 3 weeks. We know that our spirits are willing, and we are very aware that our flesh is weak and that we are not able to accomplish this on our own. So God, I pray for your grace, your sufficient grace that is more than enough for every and anything that you've called us to. And finally, God, as a church, we believe, God, for breakthroughs in our lives, Lord, in our finances this year. God, I just speak it right now over every home, over every life that's represented in this place. We speak breakthrough in the spirit, God. Breakthrough in our finances. Breakthrough in our relationships. Breakthrough in our workplaces, God. Breakthrough in our businesses. Father, we speak, Father, new life, fresh life in every area of our lives, Lord God. We thank you that you are building us, that we, each one, are your individual buildings, God, and that you are building us to be beautiful. And Father, we pray that you would inhabit every room of our house, God, that there would not be one corner that would go missing from your sight, but God, you would help us to purify and cleanse ourselves in this time. Father, we consecrate ourselves for your will and for your purposes in 2019. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.